Teaching Amazing, the podcast all about deep and joyful learning from the team at Bird Brain Technologies. I'm your host, Sarah Fitzhenry, robot fairy godmother and all-around education enthusiast. Bird Brain is known for its groundbreaking technology for students, but this podcast is all about the grown-ups that guide and inspire them. And I'm so excited about the grown-up that we have here today. Darren Alcala is a district tech coach for Cucamonga School District in California, and I actually attempted to summarize his like accolades and certifications for this intro, but there were so many that I couldn't do it. But I do know that I knew I had to have him on the podcast when I saw the joy and excitement for learning and teaching that show up in his social media feeds, because they are just absolutely contagious. So Darren, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no, my pleasure to be here. I'm happy to be here.
I'm really, really thrilled to learn from you. So let's just jump right in. Who are you and what is your teaching story?
Well, it's funny because my original teaching story wasn't going into teaching. I remember in high school, I really had this like passion for computer science, and I thought I was going to be this computer science major. And so all throughout high school, I was going to do that. But at the same time during summers, through a friend, we had a summer camp that they asked me to teach at, and it was teaching like a little computer class. The teacher knew I was kind of interested in that. So I worked with some kids and doing that. And then I graduated high school. I started college towards my CS degree, but it was sometime like sophomore year. I was like, I don't know. Like that burning a passion of like teaching others how to do things just kind of like flamed up. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I need to choose a different path. I still love like the CS stuff and everything, the tech thing. But I was like, oh, there's something here that I feel like drawn to. And so I made that hard cut to like, okay, I got to do a different path. And so I went to education and I jumped in. And then, you know, from there, I started off as an instructional assistant, started teaching like after I got my credential. And then just within my natural like course of work there, some of that tech and CS stuff started to like come in, and because it was like a passion of me, and started integrating. And then I started doing stuff within like the school site, and then, you know, doing little trainings and work with the principal. And then I kind of started taking a little more role, and then I started doing things for the district. And then the district's like, hey, you know, we're going to open up this position, you know, that's going to be full time doing like professional development. And, you know, we like the things that you're doing. And so I applied and then I got the position. And so this is what I'm doing like full time now. And I love it. I still get close enough where I could still interact with the kids, but just working with teachers too is just helping them see what's possible and what students can do and what they can do. It's just like, gives me that fulfillment and joy to kind of see that stuff grow. And now I can make change on a much greater level than I was like in the classroom, and I bring happiness to me. And then, you know, along the way, all those like things you were mentioning before, it's like, I love that learning and just growing. And so it's like, if there's something to kind of go out there and help motivate me to kind of like check that and what is that and find out more. And
yeah,
I just like love that stuff. And so, yeah, I continue to grow and do that and share all this love of stuff and using the Bird Brain, all those different devices you guys have, and just seeing like all the amazing stuff that the kids are able to do with it. Just brings me so much joy.
And you can tell, I think that professional development that's offered by a lifelong learner feels really different than professional development that's offered by someone who has maybe found something that they like and just do that over and over again. And it sounds like maybe that's where that excitement and joy that I was talking about, it comes from the fact that you're learning new things and you're so thrilled about the things that you're learning that you're passing them along to other people.
Yeah.
The perfect job for you, it seems like.
No, I love it. I was like, you know, when I was in the classroom, I was like, if there ever was something that would kind of kick me out of the here, it would be like something like this, where it's like, no, like this is like hitting checking all the boxes for me, and just to be able to interact with, you know, the people that I do and the students, and just the change, being that change agent within my district. It just it just, you know, so good.
Oh, change agent. I love that. That should be your official title. Yeah. Like district tech coach agent.
I know it comes with that sense of like disruption, where it's like, I am in a sense, asking them to do something they've probably never done before. Mm-hmm. And to do it like in a sustainable way for me, like, is also important, where it's like, I just don't want it to be this one time thing where we just come in for a week, we'll do this one project, and then I'll be gone from there. But how I can present things to a teacher in a manageable way, in a sustainable way, so that way the work will continue without me, like once I leave. I mean, it's one thing for me to go in and do like this model lesson or do this little PD with them, but if that's all where it lives, then I kind of like failed at my job then. So I gotta present things in such a way or explain in such a way that they can kind of carry on that work. And, you know, it'll be continuous support on my end, but it'll be work that lives on, you know, if I'm not there, you know, with them.
Yeah. You're teaching them to fish. You're not just fishing and giving them a fish, right? Yeah, that's right? When I talk to teachers about kind of the secrets of creating a tech ecosystem that lives beyond just your office doors. That's always what people say is you can't just teach and then hand the device and leave. You've got to teach people how to teach with it. So I'm curious, what is a day in the life like for a district technology coach / change agent?
I'd like to say I have some sort of routine, but I do not have every week is very different for me. It really consists of a few things though. It's just sporadically bigger. So I do work with district admin. I'm stationed at the district office, and I do work with the admin here, our assistant superintendent of ed services, who's mm-hmm. my boss, and then the superintendent, and I work with, you know, principals. And so in that regard, in terms of like planning meetings and trying to look at the big picture stuff and like, where does, you know, our work kind of fit into the initiatives that we have, the goals that we have as a district, you know, all those different components. So some of the days are like that. Some of the days I do push into classrooms where teachers will ask me to kind of come in and help them get started with a project. Sometimes I'm there just to help co-teach, you know, with them to kind of like, you know, is this like the right way to do it? Or, you know, they're just like looking for that extra support, you know, just kind of being there. And, you know, and within the classroom, it is often like we're just there by ourselves with these 20, 30, you know, students. So having like another adult in the room to kind of converse with as you're doing things is like super important.
Someone who will tell you if it's not going right, but they will tell you nicely, as opposed to like a 7-year-old who will be like, this lesson's the worst.
No, often they know when I come in, I'm like, oh, we're going to do something a little different. And so there's that feeling of like, oh, you know, well, my name will be there on the board as part of their, you know, daily schedule. And so they know I'm coming. But yeah, and then, you know, I'll conduct a professional development here at the district. We run it through like this cohort model here within our district where, and I meet with a group of teacher over several days over the course of the year. And so we teach and we learn, and then they go out and try stuff. We come back and we discuss and reflect. And so it's been really working for us. And then in between our kind of our PD days here at the district office, that's when I go and follow up with them, like within the classroom. And so they have this constant like loop of feedback and support, like throughout the whole year. It's not just this one and done, you know, kind of thing. A bunch of other stuff and networking with a bunch of different people here at the county or within the city and stuff. So yeah, it's always exciting and new, and every week is different. And so, yeah, no, I love it.
I was about to ask, do you like doing something different every day, or do you miss the routine? But it sounds like you thrive on that.
I do. I have to, my calendar is my, like, I do have to calendar everything. So I don't double book myself, because I've done that once or twice. But yes, no, totally. I do enjoy this, the work that I'm doing right now.
Oh, that's wonderful. It sounds like you came by your love of technology, honestly, and that actually the love of teaching is the one that snuck up and surprised you. But how did you make your way to creative robotics? Like, how did you find, you do some amazing work with the Hummingbird Kit, and I've seen some incredible posts about students programming both Hummingbird and Finch in kindergarten from you. So how'd you find your way there?
It's funny. Okay, so going back and thinking about the computer science, and once I was kind of getting into this initiative for myself of like, no, I need to kind of prioritize like bringing this in. It was at a meeting I was in, and they were talking about, you know, the underrepresented groups that are, part of like CS and, like Latinx students, American students, you know, girls, you know, et cetera. And when I was sitting there thinking about it in that meeting, I was like, gosh, that's all of our district is made up of majority of those groups. And it's like, if I didn't do anything about it, they're just going to become part of like that statistic. And so it's like, no, I need to do something, right? It's like that think globally, but act locally, you know, kind of like mindset where it's like, no, I could, we can do stuff here within our district. And so that was kind of like step one for me. And then, you know, part of me was like, okay, I know, especially at the elementary level, like teachers are really impacted with the amount of like curriculum and standards that they have to teach. And so, you know, it's already, you know, tough for teachers sometimes to do like math, language arts, history, and science to like all fidelity. So then asking them to do computer science, it, you know, I know it doesn't like fall on deaf ears with me. Like, this is a big ask, you know, for me to ask them to do this and bring it in. So it's like, I have to start showing how to do these things like in a really integrated way and do things where it's like they're able to kind of bring in multiple subjects in and it just like naturally fits in. And so for a lot of the work that I'm doing, it's trying to fit into what they're already doing. It might be just an extension of like projects or units or curriculum that they're already like utilizing. And so at K2, you know, kind of level, you know, a lot of it is kind of showing you teachers, first of all, like what is computer science? You know, when I was talking to some people just recently about it, I was like, you know, all these other subject areas, they've been around for like hundreds, if not a couple thousand years.
Yeah.
So this computer science is really just a baby, you know, infant in terms of its like subject, you know, subject knowledge and matter. And so it's like trying to educate people first, like what is computer science is a big, you know, first step with it. And then from there, like how to integrate and bring that in and show like how students can do it, even without like very little to no experience going in, that teachers are able to bring in computer science in a natural way, in a way that makes sense, you know, for the students and makes sense for the teacher to be part of their regular like instruction and curriculum and learning throughout the year for them. So doing that stuff with the Finch Box, it's like, you know, that Finch, the Blocks app, you know, we utilize the iPads at the K2 level, like, you know, it really lends itself to that instruction, the building those basic computational like understanding and their understanding of this instruction, like the code is an instruction and then how I could put those things in order and just that logical like reasoning behind it. And then just that direct, like I could do that one thing and see this physical thing move as a result of it. It's just like, it's super cool.
It's
like
a game changer,
love,
right?
I do love, like, you know, don't get me wrong, like, I love coding, like, you know, a game or something like that lives on a computer, but there's just something about that physical, like, coding piece that is just like, it's just magical. I don't know. Just seeing that thing translate from the digital to like the physical, it's just like, I don't know. I see that spark of joy in the kids' like faces when they're doing that.
Oh, the reactions, the jumping up and down, the yelling. It's so good.
And just even the simplest of like things it's doing. And then, you know, and then we take it to another level with them when we put the little, I mean, that place to add the marker in to do the drawing. That was like a genius like move on that. It's just like another level of stuff too to do. And just, you know, I want to take more advantage of the little Lego like top, you know, topper twos, but
oh,
just,
yeah.
But yeah, it's just so much, you know, fun with that. And then with the hummingbird kits and the three, you know, with those, when I typically use those with third grade, you know, and up, but it's just, wow. It's like the access to like sensors and the servos and those LEDs, it just, it really kind of helps bring this kind of professional level like stuff, like, and gives access to those students to be able to do things with it. And, you know, learning those inputs and outputs and the data that kind of comes in and how the programs can process that data. And then once we kind of get that understanding to be able to create like different projects, like with it, it just, you know, kind of blows my mind in terms of like what can get accomplished with, you know, with that kit. And, you know, just recently I was working with a group of, you know, upper grade teachers and looking at how to integrate like science and language arts and computer science all together. And we did this little, you know, a research project about like animal. And one of the NGSS standards, it talks about how, you know, students' understanding of how animals use their sensory input and how they react based upon that sensory input.
Sense, think, and act.
Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, if there ever was not a natural like blend for things to come together. So the teachers, you know, took on an animal. So they did a little research about it. And so we're trying to bring in a lot of that language arts stuff in, you know, with the science as our like initial like driving question part. And then from there, they created a model like of this animal utilizing one of the sensors in the hummingbird kit as analogy to the a sensor, you know, sensory like input mm-hmm. from an animal. And so they recreated it with some construction paper and stuff, and they had a whole blast with it. And like, okay, you know, so like trying to present these things in a manageable, natural way that kind of fits in. They're like, hey, we can address this standard and this standard mm-hmm. and this standard all like at once. And think about how much more fulfilling and enjoyment and just natural like cohesion it just kind of brings together for the students to see how all these things kind of come together, which is a more realistic way, you know, they would see it in a, you know, in environment post, like, you know, schooling and everything. So,
yeah. You've described so many different things that you did just in that one training to make robotics and computer science seem accessible and fun. Not only will students be learning about it through animals, which is something that so many students naturally have a passion for, but they're also getting to build and create. And if you say to a student today, we're going to learn about sensors and you are going to study the way that data, or if you give them pipe cleaners and you say that sensor is what makes your pipe cleaner move, you know, it attaches to a servo motor. It just takes something that can feel so big and scary and hard to understand and makes it some, you meet them where they are. And it's easy to talk about that with students, but it's also teachers. We're all just big kids. Like we're scared of new things too.
You know, our teachers don't have a lot, a lot of teachers don't have that background in CS, you know, that mm-hmm. wasn't part of like core curriculum, you know, when we were going through school. And so unless you had this special interest in it, you didn't seek out that elective or those courses or anything. And so for them trying to see of like, oh, hey, I can do this too, that's super important for them to feel that confidence level of it. And and it's kind of that growth mindset as well too. Like, it's okay if it messes up. You know, we're not going to break it. You know, it does have limits on what it can do. So we're not going you know, if it doesn't work, let's just flip it around the other way and plug it in, or, you know, mm-hmm. check the battery pack was on. So we, you know, we kind of go through those things that make them feel like, okay, I can do this and successful. And we kind of scaffold it, you know, for them, so that way they can kind of see how to scaffold it, you know, for their students, you know, as well too. So it's super important. Yeah.
I tell teachers, when you're learning to program with these devices, it's your job to make as many mistakes as you can, because that way you know how to help your students when they make the same mistakes, because they will. And you can say, oh, are you sure your battery pack is attached? I speak from experience, because I programmed without the battery pack for an hour before I realized like that's such a natural connection.
Yeah,
at one
group I was, they were making their little animal thing, and I could see that the servo was plugged in like backwards. And I was like, oh, it'd be so easy for me to just say, hey, I noticed your thing, you know, flip it around, but they turned it on, it wasn't working. I was like, okay. I was like, you know, I kind of walked them through how to like problem solve this. Mm-hmm. So like, it's the code, you know, let's take a look at the code, and then let's go through the different components. And sure enough, they found it. And yeah, I think one of the, well, let's just try it the other way. And then it worked, and like, oh, okay. And then, you know, it's like, yeah, because sometimes too, I think for the students as well, we can be too quick to intervene. And it's that productive struggle, you know, that I kind of strive for both teacher and student, that we can do this and then to build that resilience within them. And it's like, it's okay if we mess up a little bit, or, you know, it's almost expected we're going to do it, because we're learning mm-hmm. things for the first time, and nobody does things perfectly, you know, for the first time. And so to get them to kind of see that they can do these things, and it's okay if we're going to stumble, because we're learning, mm-hmm. you know, that's just part of the process. It's super important.
You've described a lot of really rewarding moments from working with teachers and from working with students. Are there any really challenging moments that you can share with our listeners?
I do think that sometimes that teacher is that kind of barrier of like what happens in the classroom. And mm-hmm. so, you know, for some, just kind of getting them in just to try things can sometimes be a struggle, because there are some teachers, I think, that have that mindset of like, I'm the sage on stage. I mm-hmm. need to be the most knowledgeable person in the room. And if I don't know this thing, I'm not really comfortable because what if something goes wrong and I don't have the answer for it? And so I, you know, and some of that just is kind of like this mindset shift of having to work through teachers. And so I've gotten to know, you know, practically like a good set of our population of our teachers in our district and kind of know where they're at. And we're a smaller district, so I'm able to kind of get to know them on a little bit more personal level.
That's nice.
And so, you know, traveling to different sites or them coming to us or doing different events that we do. And so, you know, to know how to talk to somebody is like super important to kind of meet them where they're at. You know, you said that earlier, mm-hmm. It's just all this relationship building. And that's this coaching position that I'm in. It's really, it's like, you can pick up skills and you could learn and you could read this or watch this video on how to do this thing, but it's that relationship, I think, building, that's the most important thing, because I'm asking you to come in and change the way you're doing something. So there's this trust thing about it. And on the opposite side of the teacher, it's the teacher kind of almost admitting this vulnerability of I don't know something. Can you help me like learn this thing? And, you know, as adults, we get a little self-conscious about some of those things. So we could kind of put up this shield. And so it's just really trying to figure out how to talk to teacher A versus teacher B versus teacher C to kind of get them in and to understand where they're at and what apprehensions they might have, and knowing where they're at and the students are at, and, you know, to kind of like help coach them through, you know, and kind of meet them. And so that way they get into a good spot where they can grow from that point kind of forward. And so I would say that's kind of like, you know, it is a struggle that I'm happy to like address and try to work on. You know, thankfully, in some other regard, like our superintendent is really supportive of the CS like initiative and bringing in like STEM into the classrooms. And so he's fully on board. You know, we've purchased these sets, you know, each of the sites. And so I'm hoping to get to a point where it's like, we need more sets, you know, because they're kind of fighting for them. And so we're starting to get to that point, which is a good problem to have. And so I'm just trying to see like what can be, you know, done and accomplished with it. But yeah, I think that's probably my biggest challenge, is just kind of getting that initial like foot in the door, you know, if you so to speak, you know, kind of thing with them. And then once I'm kind of in, it just kind of almost sells itself as we're kind of going through. So
it says a lot about you that your biggest challenge is relationship based and how hard you want to work to connect with and support every teacher. That's wonderful to hear. And I hope that our listeners are kind of taking notes. And I know so many people out there are nodding and are emphatically saying, yes, that's the secret. That's the point. Or I wish I had a coach like that in my work. It would be so helpful.
I work with new teachers too, you know, kind of in part of the induction kind of process. And a lot of this stuff too, I'm trying to help get them from the right mindset, you know, from the start, and just trying to like build that relationship with them and trying to get them into, you know, trying new things. And it's okay, you know, all this growth mindset, like all these things. So that way they're in a good position, like moving forward. No, it truly is like that relationship.
Oh, that leads me perfectly into my favorite question. Darren, what makes you a flocking amazing educator?
So I have this, so in the district, like I'm known by this motto. It's like, why do it when you can overdo it?
And so, I need that printed on my wall.
So that people like, they'll go back to me, and especially the team I work closely with, they kind of like, no, that is my mentality. No, so they would get over it, you know, to just kind of go all out. Cause you know, like bottom line for me, like the students, like in our district, and think of like what type of like education they deserve and just trying to help everything within my power to kind of make that happen. I don't think you even know. I was actually a student within my district. So I have like really close ties. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago. The teacher I had for fifth grade was still within the district. And so she just retired and everything like that. But yeah, so I have this, you know, long history with the district here. And so being from this area, from this neighborhood, being one of these students, like, you know, and to get to the position where I'm at, like, I know what kind of things, you know, they need, what support they, what opportunities need to be kind of presented to them. And, you know, part of me in approaching this stuff is really just kind of giving them that opportunity to see like what's possible, what's a possible pathway for you. Because sometimes if they're not shown these things, then they don't think it's, you know, they don't consider it. And a lot of these times, because of these CS like tech positions are like high paid, you know, positions, and they're kind of desired positions, like these could be positions that help break like a cycle of poverty for some of these families. It could be something that they just, you know, grow. And so giving them an opportunity to try this stuff out, to kind of see what it looks like. It's not like this foreign thing where it's like, you'll never be able to like accomplish it. Like, no, there are things you can do now to kind of learn and grow. And if it becomes something that you don't want to do, then like, that's okay. But at least you had the opportunity to make that decision, or that decision wasn't made like for you. You know,
and those are skills you'll be using no matter where you do end up, even if you're not using them in a specifically technology related job.
Yeah, no. And I have, so the other thing I've kind of known for is like, I had this Ratatouille like analogy. I don't know if you've ever seen that Pixar movie.
Okay.
So, you know, in the theme in that movie is like, you know, anyone can cook, right? So, you know, a great artist, not everyone will become a great artist, but a great artist can come from anyone.
So
for me, it's looking at the CS like through that kind of like lens, where it's like, not everyone I know is going to grow and become this great coder, but any one of them can become like a great coder, you know. And so trying to look at them and seeing like, they deserve to have this opportunity, this chance to do it. And when we're not presenting them with these opportunities to kind of grow and learn about like CS, then we're kind of taking away making that decision for them. And so having them see like what's possible is like, that's super important to me. And so that that student work, that teacher work, that relationship building, like all those things are all related, you know, for me. And I can't like have one without the other to be successful. And so that's what, kind of what strives and drives me. And so I guess that's what makes me a fucking amazing educator.
Yes. Oh my gosh. No wonder you're so passionate. You've got insider info. This is your place. These are your people.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful to hear about. Thank you so much for sharing that. I also like to picture you as Ratatouille, like under the chef hats of some of these teachers.
Sometimes I'll be like, a little whispers in the ears.
Listeners, if you haven't seen Ratatouille, please go Google it and picture Darren like on these teachers' shoulders, marinating them into becoming comfortable with computer science. Oh, Darren, it was so wonderful to talk to you. Do you have anything else that you want to share with our listeners?
No, I just, you know, there's always, you know, we have access to so many different like tools nowadays, you know. I tell teachers, like, if I went back into the classroom, I almost wouldn't know what to do with myself, because there's so many amazing things. I was like, we can do this, and there. Imagine at the students, like, simmer down, Mr. Collins, simmer down.
I also need that printed on my wall. Simmer down.
But no, it just, there are so many things, you know, out there for the students to kind of like learn CS. There's different entry points for every teacher out there, whether you're a novice or whether you're a little bit more experienced. And so, but all these things, these open-ended tools, you know, like the Hummingbird, you know, kit for me, it just allow the students to grow and do like so much of it. And I just think of like last year, I was working with a couple of fifth grade classrooms, and we're utilizing the Hummingbird kits in conjunction and looking at the UN's like global goals, and where the students had to come up with like a project that addresses the goals. And, you know, some of those students were like, you know, trying to take on things like gender equality or like this safety. And it's like, they're building these things and having discussions about these topics. It's like, it's just like amazing. And, you know, cause they were given that opportunity to really kind of shine who they are, to develop that student agency that they need to develop. And it's just like awesome stuff out there. So don't be afraid, you know, jump in, and there's so much to learn and grow with. And there's people out there to support you on that journey, I guess, is the other thing too. There's, whether it's somebody within your grade level or somebody in your site or somebody in your district or somebody, you know, another like
or PLN, somebody at Bird Brain Technologies.
Yes, and somebody
raising my hand. Right
there. There's somebody out there who will help make things happen that you want to have happen. So don't let that intimidate you.
Yes, teachers, your work is so important. And I feel like the world sees that now more than ever, even if it's not always communicated. And so there are people out there that want to support. There are Darrens all over the world who want to help you, who want to help you reach your full
potential.
There's
probably a few people within my district when you hear say that, though, like shuddering a little bit. But that's I'm like the, sometimes the brother that they never wanted. So
that I never had and never wanted. Well, you are the podcast guest that I have always wanted.
Oh,
so
thank you so much, Sarah.
So much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yes, listeners, thank you for joining us for Flocking Amazing, the podcast for quick bite-sized conversations with real teachers, sharing their real expertise and providing real inspiration to us all. We'll have a new teacher conversation dropping soon, so don't flocking miss it.